Hey, what's going on? This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and I just wanted to jump in here really quick before we get started with this Imagine Listening episode. I wanted to thank everybody who came to my session at the 2019 Texas Public Safety Conference. The stories shared were powerful, and just being in there with all of you was an honor to help share those stories and to help you get those stories out. It truly was an honor to be able to do that. So thank you very much for being there. I also want to say that there was a slight audio issue where the audio where myself and my co-host were reading the stories that were written and given to us did not come over. You can barely hear it in the original audio, and I would have to turn it up, but it would not sound as good as when we were in there. The audio of each dispatcher saying their own stories, however, came out perfect. So in this episode, you will hear me read each one of these stories as I did and my co-host did in that room because the audio didn't make it in there. I want to make sure that all of these stories are on this episode, which is why I am re-recording it, at least that portion. But you will hear the dispatchers that were there who said their own stories in the episode. So thank you again. I do apologize for the audio mishap, but on with the show.
This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning, this episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Imagine being on the phone with your mom. You're scared. You answer her yes or no questions, trying to hold it together. You keep up with the conversation, but you wonder if you're going to make it through alive, because across from you is your husband, who has you at gunpoint. Now imagine you're 911. Pretending to be your caller's mother as you attempt to get information to send help out. But as you're asking questions, you hear a gunshot, and the line goes dead. This is what it's like within the trenches. In this episode, you will hear stories from the IM911 movement, a movement I started to fight the reclassification of dispatchers from clerical to protective and bring awareness to the types of calls the 911 dispatchers answer on a daily basis. This episode was recorded in front of a live audience at the Galveston Island Convention Center in Galveston, Texas, for the 2019 Texas Public Safety Conference. Now, you heard the warning at the beginning, but I must warn you again and add that if you suffer from PTSD or have suicidal tendencies, you are listening at your own risk. The stories you're about to hear are all true and come from the dispatchers who lived them. While some stories have a good outcome, the majority are horrifying. This is our reality. Your worst day is our everyday. So let's start with a bang. I want you to imagine each story. Become the dispatcher who has taken each call and imagine listening. Your little girl collapsed and was not breathing. You were so frantic. I could not understand the address. When you repeated it, I realized I knew that address. When I got the phone number, I knew. You are my sister, and that little girl was my niece. I am 911.
My call taker couldn't get your address over your mother's screams. Luckily, a neighbor called in and got us an exact apartment number. I tried. I tried to send the officers as fast as possible, but I wasn't fast enough. I saved you, but I wasn't in time to save your infant brother from your mother's boyfriend killing him. Because of this call, I'm scared to hold my newborn nephew. I am 911.
To the woman who called in a lift assist for her husband, who fell asleep at the foot of the bed. I'm sorry. I should have asked you to check if he was breathing instead of just treating it like every other lift assist call, because maybe we could have done something before medics found that he had passed away. I am 911. I was there with you when you found your son hanging from a tree in your backyard. I experienced your helplessness as you tried to cut him down. I still hear your screams of anguish. I am 911. Your screams were so loud, I couldn't hear him say the address. You accidentally overdosed your infant, and he wasn't breathing. He didn't survive. Mine is only a week older. I still hear your screams at night. I am 911. You called 911 because you said your husband had been acting strange and you thought you heard gunshots. I was on the phone with you when you opened the bedroom door and found your 9-year-old son and 5-year-old daughter had been shot and killed before your husband turned the gun on himself. You're the first person I think of every morning and the last person I think of before falling asleep at night. I am 911. Received a 911 call with a male subject saying he had been shot and needed help in an ambulance. Officers start responding, transferring to EMS while on the line, made sure about the weapon. While waiting for EMS, hear a person in the background saying, "Die, you motherfucker." The male caller started gasping for breath. He eventually died at the hospital, and the officers got the shooter. All over a girlfriend. I am 911. I will never forget hearing your mother's screams and your father begging you to wake up as you lay unconscious and not responsive. Your father explained that you had hit your head on the concrete sidewalk. You were only about 5 years old. I prayed that you would make it as you were airlifted to the trauma hospital. I hope you made it. I am 911. You called 911 because you were released from the hospital after having an allergic reaction. You then believed your husband was kidnapped from the hospital because he never made it to the front to pick you up. I had to put you on hold so an officer could rush to your house to give you the death notification. Your husband died from a heart attack while backing out of the hospital parking spot to pick you up. I am 911. You heard him fall. You called me. I talked you through, holding your 6'5", over 250-pound boyfriend up as he hung from a rope in a doorway. You told me you were 4'11", 90 pounds. Couldn't keep him up. But you did. Until I got EMS there. You did. Amazing. I don't think you could hear my voice shaking. I am 911. Mother called saying her 9-year-old wasn't breathing. I assisted mom in doing CPR for 5 minutes. EMS continued CPR for 9 minutes and called to say they got her back. A few hours later, the hospital calls to say they needed an officer out because the child had bruises all over her body and a brain bleed. They believe the parents beat her before calling to do CPR. I am 911.
Oh, I remember taking a call one time from a mom who called in because her daughter's boyfriend came to their house. He was pretty intoxicated, and he wanted to break up with her. So she didn't want to be with him, so she left. He followed. It's a long stretch of road, pretty straight stretch of road, and the boyfriend started to chase the girlfriend, and she decided, no, I can't have him drive because he was intoxicated, so she decided to go back to her house, and when she did, she kind of did a loop-de-loop, a U-turn in the middle of the road, and so did the boyfriend, but he didn't pay any attention, and when he turned, there was a car with a grandma and grandpa and two kids, and they T-boned, and there were people there trying to help, but all you could hear were the grandparents and the kids just screaming in the car. Nobody could get to them to get them out. And then I had two other people on the phone at the time, and you could just hear the screams of just these people just dying over something, you know, just don't drink and drive. I am 911.
I remember getting the call from a mom who was frantic and screaming. Her three-year-old had fell out of the second story window of their house, and we had to airlift him to the hospital, and I don't know whatever happened to him. I don't know if he made it or not. And I am 911.
I hear you screaming your address, but you're hard to understand. While you watch through the window, your brother-in-law continued to beat and stab your sister until the officers arrived and knocked him off of her. She survived but was blind in one eye. I am 911.
About 8 months ago, I took a phone call from a young boy. Later I learned he was only 7 years old. Surprisingly, he was fairly calm. He told me that he had come to check on his dad, who was working in the garage. I think my dad is sick. He's lying on the floor and won't wake up. He said his mom was at the store and he was watching his little brother while his dad installed a new washer. I could hear him tell his brother to stay away and to go play. He was an intelligent young boy. He remained more calm than most adults, giving me as much information as he could while taking care of his little brother. Turns out the dad had electrocuted himself while installing the washer. I am 911. Toughest call I've had was a 17-year-old screaming into the phone, "My friend's been shot. Help me." The panic in his voice was devastating. He kept repeating, "He's dead. He's dead." He disconnected the call and wouldn't answer on callback. Scared the hell out of me, sending my guys in blind. I am 911.
My coworker answered the call from a friend who was concerned about her friend. He said he was suicidal and he was calling her to tell her to call his family. She heard the gun cock and then he hung up. My coworker was busy and didn't want to try to make that call back, so she asked if I could make the call back, not knowing whether or not I would get an answer when I called the number. And he answered. I talked with him for a good 20 minutes while we got officers outside the door, knowing that he had a gun. I asked him to finally please put down the gun and just go talk to my friends. And he did. What he didn't know was 2 months before that, my husband had killed himself with a gun. I am 911.
At my agency, we work closely with our neighboring agencies around us, and I'm telling this for one of my closest friends from another agency who wasn't able to come to the conference. It's the most horrific call per our sheriff in our county that we've ever had. January 5th, 2017, Giovanna was murdered by her mother. The 911 call came in for an assault, and officers responded and found a man who had been stabbed in the back and in the forehead outside. It was reported by that gentleman that a female was inside the residence with her child, and she was armed with a firearm and a knife. A SWAT standoff began, and it lasted, I believe, about an hour or so. A 45-minute open line call from the residents was placed to the county dispatch center, and my closest friend had to listen to an open 911 line for 45 minutes, and he heard knocking noises and didn't know what the knocking noises were. After a while, SWAT made entry, found the mother in the shower, and she was in the shower and appeared to be saying that we would wake up the neighbors if we bothered her there in the shower. It was found out that those knocking noises was the body of Giovanna on a piece of plywood, and the mother was chopping her body up. She hid the skull in three different places all over the house, and it took them well over 15 hours to find all of the parts of her body over the around the house. We are 911.
You called in, so I'd send an officer to find your body, so your mother wouldn't. I attempted to keep you on the line as officers and medics made their way to you. The line disconnected as officers arrived, and they heard a shot. They said you shot yourself in the head, but were still breathing. They rushed you to the hospital, but I don't know if you made it. I am 911. Your wife called as you were gasping for air, sobbing to help her because she wasn't ready for you to go. She had said, "You had cancer for quite some time." I started going through the steps for CPR. Once you stopped breathing, she didn't want to pull you off the bed or put your baby down. I continued giving her instructions while they both cried in my ear, counting 1, 2, 3, 4. I am 911. I had trouble understanding your address. Through your screams and cries, you woke up to find your 3-month-old son was not breathing, was blue and cold to the touch. After finally calming you down enough to get your address, I walked you through CPR till medics got there, even though I knew your child had passed. I am 911. Carrie's story. Prior to getting into 911, I received a call from EMS while I was at school that my 3-month son stopped breathing at the babysitter's house. Unfortunately, my son Aiden passed away 4 days later. When I get calls from parents who lose their children, I don't just say I know what you are going through. I live it every day, and I'm here for you on that worst day of your life. I am 911. You called and said you needed an ambulance for your son. You said he had some mental problems, but all was okay. When I heard your screams, you tried to stay so calm while he was stabbing you in the head. Calls of a woman bleeding in the street. Officers arrived and found a headless female in the street. Her husband had been at the back of the truck sharpening his chainsaws. Don't know what triggered him that day. He fled to Mexico. I am 911. You were a 6-week-old twin and quit breathing while your mother was feeding you. I gave you CPR instructions and could hear the helplessness in your parents' voice. The most beautiful sound to hear when you finally started crying. I am 911. I could not talk you out of committing suicide. You put the gun to your head and pulled the trigger. It didn't fire. I will always remember this sound. I am 911. I took your 911 call. I knew your voice. You seemed okay. Transported to the hospital, code 1. You coded at the ER and didn't make it. You were one of my reserve deputies. I am 911. One of the worst calls I've taken was a young boy who recently lost his dad via self-inflicted gunshot. The little boy's mother was taking it very hard. The little boy's mother tried to overdose. He kept screaming as I got help. I can't lose my mom too. His mom passed. I still hear your screams. I am 911. It was the morning of your 16th birthday. Your mom came into town and got a hotel for you and your sister. You woke up and found your mom overdosed in bed with your 12-year-old sister. I listened as your 12-year-old sister screamed and cried. You were so brave until you saw your dad. Then you lost it. I prayed daily for you for years. I am 911. I answered the phone and you were so calm. You woke up and found your 3-month-old baby not breathing. I gave you CPR instructions and found bite marks on her body. Your 8-year-old German Shepherd bit her and sat on her. I followed up with Skylar's autopsy and found dog hair down her throat. Not only did you lose your child, but a family pet of 8 years. I am 911. You are a veteran with severe PTSD. You didn't want to live. I talked to you for 28 minutes before you pulled the trigger alone in that field. My husband is also a veteran. Your pain broke my heart. I am 911. You were 10, and you and your 8-year-old brother found your mother not breathing. I walked you through CPR for 7 minutes until help arrived. I remember your sweet young voice trying so hard to save her while your brother cried in the background. I am 911. I spoke with your little sister while your mom was in the next room with you. She said you were having a seizure. When medics arrived, they told us they had CPR in progress. You were the same age as my twin children, and you tried to kill yourself. I saw on social media that you were on life support. After wondering if you'd recover for nearly a year, I saw a video your father posted on social media of you taking your first steps again. A rare moment of closure. I still have that video, and I still think about you and hope you are well. I am 911. I received a call from a Spanish-speaking female whom said her friend called her to say she was sick, but she lived 3 hours away and couldn't check on her. I could only understand her friend's address. I sent officers and EMS over. They found the victim at her front door, duct taped and blood everywhere throughout the house. She could not speak. She was 8 months pregnant. The baby did not make it. Don't know what happened with mom. I am 911. Less than 1 mile outside our jurisdiction, 20 minutes from any EMS service, your 18-year-old cousin hit by a drunk driver head-on. Upside down, pinned, vehicle fully engulfed, no longer hearing your voice, only his blood-wrenching screams. I begged you to keep yourself safe check on the other driver. You found her 100 yards in the field, decapitated. 9/1/2018, your 16th birthday. Our lives changed forever, together. Your voice, his screams. Her children consume me. Blaming myself for taking away your last seconds with your cousin, guiding you further into darkness and terror. Today, I'm thankful you were strong and listened to my pleads to keep yourself safe. I am 911. You called and said you were having a hard time finding a reason to live. You told me about how you had been suffering. I heard the confusion in your voice. I heard the fear. You said you called the suicide hotline, just like I taught you. I heard the anger when you said the number was no longer in service. But this is what fueled you to hurt yourself that day. You are my daughter. I am your mom. And I am 911. I took a call from a Hispanic female who could not speak good English. She called 911 to say her 3-year-old nephew was in the tub underwater and she did not know what to do. She could not give a good address, and the child was still underwater. At the end, the child died. I am 911. I cleared call taking back in the end of 2017. A girl in my academy usually sat next to me, and we became pretty good friends. She was a prior dispatcher in California before moving to Texas. I will never forget the day she took a CPR call for a 6-year-old with terminal illness. Her pro QA crashed. We scrambled for cards and worked together to do CPR. That was the day I saw such a strong woman break and a face of sadness come over her face. And she started to break down. I knew I had to take over this call. I joined in, started CPR, as the foster parents yelled and screamed at me, due to response time. The family was in a very rural part of our county, so response was easily over 15 minutes. I will never forget hearing the mothers scream and cry as they all switched off CPR. I will never forget the horrible things they said to me as I was trying to help. 988 compressions later, numerous mouth-to-mouth. The little boy became responsive, and everything that I endured in the last 20 minutes was worth it. That day was my first child CPR, the first day I saw what this job was really about, and how our confidence can break at a flip of a dime. It was also the day I fell in love with being a 911 operator, and the day I found my calling. I am 911.
Thank you all very, very much for sharing your stories. These are the stories that need to get out there, the stories that matter. Like I said before, you're all the most vital piece of public safety. And every call you pick up is another story in your career. It's part of your story. So thank you. I try to explain to people what it's like to be in a session like this, tell a story like this. And the feeling that you get from being in a room with people sharing these stories that come from the same place that you come from. And it's an amazing feeling. So thank you again for joining us on this part of Imagine Listening. And please, a round of applause for everyone who shared a story.
Those are just a few stories from Imagine Listening, an extension of the podcast featuring the stories of the I Am 911 movement. These stories came from the amazing 911 professionals from the great state of Texas. Thank you all so much for attending my session and for sharing a glimpse into your 911 experience. The next Imagine Listening and Open Mic session will be at the Navigator Conference, and on April 25th between 10:15 a.m. and 11 a.m. is when I will be doing this next session. So if you're going to be there, have your stories ready. If you have comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, that is @91podcast, and you can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. This episode, along with all the others, can be heard 24/7 on Apple Podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, your favorite podcasting app, and withinthetrenches.net. Have a good one, everyone.